Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I am Branham. It is Brian behind the glass. It is a Taco Tuesday, my mention of The Killer Bees. On ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. So I'm doing my things Tuesday. Tuesday morning is usually watching the film because I'm a football hardo. So I'm watching the film, evaluating what needs to change, what things that went well, what my naked eye didn't see originally. And I get the notification on my phone, through Underdog Fantasy, nonetheless, that Robert Saleh has been fired. He's been fired. I could not believe it.
You ain't popping.
Yeah, if you don't have haters, you ain't popping. And apparently Woody Johnson's the chief hater among them. I can't believe this. I was in utter shock when I saw that Robert Saleh, after 5 weeks and a 2-3 record, it's not like they're 0-5, they're 2-3. I was shocked to see that Robert Saleh has been sacked as the football coach of the New York Jets.
Yeah, I was fairly stunned too when I saw the crawl on ESPN, and I'm not surprised because of the fact that I've kind of lived through a lot of this in the past. At a certain point, Aaron Rodgers just decided that he's not just going to be the quarterback of a franchise. He's going to run everything, and he needs to be in charge of everything. And when you saw the whole hug versus push versus, you know, are they friends, are they not friends stuff with Saleh just a few short weeks ago, I was like, oh boy, here we go. And just the
you
same
ain't got
way
no haters, you ain't popping.
Yeah, Rodgers had to have his receivers and his buddies starting last year, and then he had to have his OC, and this was just another in the long line of things that Aaron Rodgers probably has more of a hand in it than he's ever going to want to admit, and he's always going to say he didn't have anything to do with it, but he has something to do with just about everything when he's on a football team. And this is way too soon in the season to do something like this. I think it's frankly ridiculous, but it's not surprising.
So haters of Robert Saleh are Woody Johnson, the owner, and Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback. Now,
you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping.
Thank you, Robert Saleh. If you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping. This, I don't like the firing. If I'm a New York Jet fan today, I don't like that Robert Saleh has been fired. 2-3, okay, kind of lackadaisical, lackluster through the first 5 games. The offense isn't doing much. The offense has been pretty poor. Aaron Rodgers has been a bottom third quarterback in the NFL. Garrett Wilson's had a tough time to get going, although he had a really good game overseas, double-digit catches, over 100 yards, but that was his first decent game this year. Breece Hall's been an afterthought, really. Like, he hasn't been very good. In a lot of ways, Braylon Allen, the rookie, has outplayed Breece Hall. And people were saying that Breece Hall was going to be as good as Christian McCaffrey this year. I guess he has been, but you get the point. People thought that Breece Hall was going to be a top three running back this season, and he might not be the top one running back in New York right now. So I look at that team as the offense as the issue. Mm-hmm. Whenever I look at the defensive side of the ball, and yes, I know that Robert Saleh is not calling plays, but he is kind of the mastermind. It is his philosophy. I'm sure he's sitting into the meetings. I'm sure he's watching film. I'm sure he's a big voice when you talk about the New York Jets defense. They're number two in the NFL in defense. They have the number two defense in the NFL total yards per game given up this so far this year. And they fired the guy that's the mastermind of the defense. Some reports are coming out that Saleh wanted to fire Nathaniel Hackett, and then like 5 minutes later, he was the one that got fired. Connor Hughes, who covers the Jets at SNY in New York, covers the Jets and the Giants. He said Hackett was never going to be fired, but that he was going to demote him. They were going to promote Todd Downing to call the plays, and then he made that decision on Tuesday, today, earlier today, because he wasn't at the office today, and then a few minutes later, he was the one that got fired. Woody Johnson said that he did meet with Aaron Rodgers yesterday, but Rodgers played no part in the firing. My hunch is that this is an Aaron Rodgers thing. Oh. I don't know that for sure. I think we read the tea leaves. Woody Johnson saying that's not the case. But this is bizarre. Like, he's a defensive-minded head coach. The defense has been good. The offense has been poor. Here's an idea. Let's fire the defensive guy. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Not at all. And then when you kind of pile on to what you're saying about the offense, you got a 40-year-old quarterback throwing 50 times a game. You got two running backs that are fully capable running backs that you're not running the football with. You look really, really bad overseas. You got Eric Mangini, who used to work for that owner in that organization, saying that Woody Johnson has a whole lot of buddies over in the UK, and when they if they played bad and lost in the UK, all hell was going to break loose. And he believed that because if Woody Johnson was embarrassed in front of his friends, that that was going to play a part in it. You got Stephen A. Smith saying that Woody Johnson is Donald Sterling without the racism and the fact that he just does whatever the hell he wants. This is the wrong time to make this move. You're absolutely right about the defensive side of the football. And we talked about how talented the defense was. Aaron Rodgers is not playing well at all. And a lot of times why everybody bowed down to him in Green Bay was because as an offense, when Aaron Rodgers was at the helm calling whatever play he wanted, they had a lot of success. They moved the football. They did whatever they wanted to do for the most part. He's not doing that now. He's throwing three picks a game. He's a less than quarterback in this league. Yet because you committed everything that you could to him for this two-year run, he continues to seem to be able to have whatever he wants. And Hackett is his boy. Let's make no doubt about that. And if you start coming at Hackett, you start coming at Aaron, then Aaron's going to put his foot down.
To be fair, he's had one three-interception game.
Yes, last week.
Yeah, but he's had one. It's not like he's doing this week in, week out. In fact, it was his first multiple interception game he's had this year. And I'm not saying that Rodgers is playing well, but that was the first time he's done that this season. I will say, this is a bold move. And I saw some stat today that a coach has not been fired in the middle of the season, and the team has made the playoffs since like 1970. So this is a very ultra-aggressive move. This is a very bold move. I like bold. I like a little bravado. I think this is stupid. I think this is bad timing. I will reserve judgment to be proven wrong, though. Like, if the Jets figure this out, and then let's say they make the playoffs, 9-10 wins, whatever it is, I think we look back at this day and go, okay, all right, it was a courageous decision. It was a decision that was not being well-received around the sports world. But if they get in the postseason, I think you can circle this day on the calendar and say they got it right. I think that is the line of demarcation. Playoffs, good move. Fall short of the playoffs, bad move. That's how I'm going to grade this firing.
I absolutely love this move. Not because it makes any sense, but because the Texans have the Jets on their schedule. And as you mentioned, the defense under Robert Saleh has been great. We saw what they did to the Texans last year. C.J. Stroud couldn't do anything, partially because he might have been concussed from the game before, but and the weather was bad. But yeah, the Jets defense on the Texans schedule in just a few weeks on Halloween night, that Thursday night football game, end of the month, was going to be a problem. The Jets defense on the road. Now, obviously, the talent on that defense remains the same. It's still not going to be an easy road, but getting rid of that defensive mastermind calling or at least scheming up the plays, you would think would play at least a little bit in the Texans' favor.
From a Texans perspective, I think this is a win because not only do you play them, but I do think it eliminates a team from the AFC playoffs. I don't think the Jets will make the playoffs. Now, I could be wrong, obviously. I'm wrong all the time. I'm a moron on the microphone. If I do think it eliminates the Jets from playoff contention. Yes, they're only 2-3. Yes, there's a lot of season to go. Yes, there's so many things that can happen. But I think it shows you that there's dysfunction in New York. It shows you why the Jets have been a lousy organization for years. You can't escape bad ownership. They have a good roster. They have a good roster. They have a Hall of Fame quarterback. Yes, he's on over the hill, and he's on the back nine, not the front nine. But he's the best quarterback they've had there since what? Who's the best?
Flacco was terrible even when he was there.
Pennington?
Fitzy?
Best quarterback since Pennington?
Maybe.
Since Fitzpatrick?
The Jets are a debacle of a football organization. And this was the fear with the Houston Texans a few years ago, was that you weren't going to be able to escape the buffoon known as Cal McNair. Cal McNair got saved by Hannah.
Never quit.
And how dare us to call that mentality a buffoon? You know, there's the Mamba mentality.
Never quit.
And then there's that mentality. You tell me which one you rather have. But because Cal McNair never, never quit, despite everybody telling us, oh, he needs to sell the organization, us calling him a buffoon, he never, never quit. And he turned the organization around. The Jets haven't made the playoffs since 2010. The Jets have been a losing organization for a very long time. Why? Because you can't escape poor ownership. And the Jets have poor ownership. They have dysfunction. This is a sign of that. So I think you can eliminate the Jets from playoff contention in the AFC. That's a positive for the Texans. And then, like Brian said, you play them in a few weeks. And the fact that Saleh's not there, I think, is another positive for the Houston Texans.
I think you're right. I think that, but at the same time, you also have to start looking at just not the organization as a whole, but included in that is the general manager. The general manager that gave up a third-round pick for a defensive end slash linebacker that hasn't played it down for you, that doesn't plan on playing for you, with a pick that you probably could use at some point, especially when you're this bad, especially if you're trying to build for the future. They might as well go all in on Devontae Adams now because Aaron's going to want him and because he's going to tell you that's part of the reason why he's, you know, that the offense is sputtered and they're going to need more, but they're going to, that's going to cost some draft capital yet again. You gave up draft capital in multiple years to get him and you're all in, but you're playing like you're completely anything but that right now. So if this is what you're going to do, then you're probably going to have to do even more, and he's going to press you to do even more because he doesn't want to take the blame for an offense that has been horrible. And it's going to be real. It's like a, it's like the best place for it. I love it because it's a soap opera that was going to, it's going to continue to be dramatic, and it's continued to show you what a car wreck it is. But you're right. They're not making the playoffs.
No, this is it is highly entertaining, and I do love to see a Jet fan be up in arms about this and try to defend this. Oh, it was a great idea to fire Saleh. The guy they should have fired was Nathaniel Hackett. Like, if you really wanted to win, and that's what Saleh reportedly was going to do, either fire him or demote him, according to which report you believe, they were going to strip play-calling duties away from Nathaniel Hackett. No one thinks Nathaniel Hackett is worth the darn, with the exception of one guy. One guy thinks Nathaniel Hackett is worth the darn. And that's Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers, I think if you put two and two together and you read the tea leaves, it is pretty clear that Aaron Rodgers is the one orchestrating everything that's happening in New York right now.
Yeah, no question. And I think that the other thing, when you look at it, you talked about it a little bit. There's too much talent. They rebuilt the offensive line, which was their biggest weakness in the offseason. There's too much talent across the board on this team for the offense to be this bad when we knew the entire roster was a very talented group. Look, I thought that they were going to compete for the division. I thought they were going to be a playoff team. I thought they could be a sleeper in the AFC. And they have been a massive disappointment. They have been a massive fire that just continues to burn. And I think it's just going to blow up before it's all said and done. So it's going to be fun to watch, but it's been a complete bleep show.
Now, if they make the playoffs, great decision. What a courageous, bold, right decision.
They're one game out of behind the Bills.
They beat the Bills on they play them on Monday Night Football.
They play them this week.
They're tied for first.
Exactly.
They're tied for first.
So, I mean, despite all the circus and clown show we've talked about for the last 13 minutes, they're one game out, and they face the division leader on Monday.
Do we expect that the DC is going to come in and make that big of a difference from a coaching perspective?
No.
I expect them to continue to run the defense, and they're going to be a good defense. They're talented enough to be a good defense. But this just shows you that offensively, Rodgers, with a little bit of Hackett, is going to do whatever the hell he wants, which means nothing's going to change offensively.
No, it's going to be fun to watch the Jets the rest of the year. 0002, Blanker said this long ago, he's a good quarterback, but a bad human. I think a bad human's a little bit too much.
I didn't say bad human. Off the field, he's...
You could call him a diva and all of these things, but like, I mean, I would say Deshaun Watson's a bad human. I don't know if I would consider. I don't know Aaron Rodgers well enough to say he's a bad human. I don't know anything of Aaron Rodgers' personal life per se. I don't think that he has ever been convicted of a crime. He is estranged with his family, which is kind of weird. But yeah, I don't know him well enough to call him a bad human. I can't say that.
No, I just said, look, as long as when he, and lucky enough, he was in his heyday and had the most success when he was a Packer, that I loved him as the quarterback of the Packers. I can't stand all of the drama and all the things that I knew, that I heard, that I saw off the field, in the locker room, whenever he was doing whatever the hell he wanted to do, but you kind of tolerate it. We talk about like the Jordan rules and things that we do as teams when we have great players to try and appease them and make them happy. Everybody's always done that, but he's always lived up to his end of the bargain on the field. He's not doing that this year.
I would bring Saleh in, by the way. I would hire him if I'm D'Amico Ryans.
Thought about it.
They have a long history together. They worked on Saleh was on the staff whenever D'Amico was still here as a player. I'm pretty certain of that. And then they were on the same staff in San Francisco. D'Amico Ryans took over for Robert Saleh as the defensive coordinator in San Francisco. I would bring, if Saleh's up to it, if Saleh wants to work, if it were me, I'd be like, no, I'm good the rest of the year. I'm just going to hang out, chill out, and then kind of recover and regroup and then figure out where I want to go. But if Saleh's up for working, I would make that call if I'm DeMeco Ryans.
I think there's two teams that are going to be interested if he's interested in doing something the rest of the season. I think you hit on one in the Houston Texans. I think the other one's going to be Matt LaFleur and the Green Bay Packers. All three of those guys came up through the ranks with multiple teams hanging out together. They're all really great friends, and I think that LaFleur is not afraid of saying, no matter what the Packers' defense has looked like this year, I need another voice in the room that knows defense. I think both of those teams are going to have wide open doors if Saleh wants to stay in the NFL this season.
I throw a third team in there, San Francisco. Yeah. I mean, the Niners are 2-3 right now. I could see them welcoming him back to, you know, where he was previously their defensive coordinator for sure.
Give me Saleh in Houston as a defensive analyst the rest of the year. And then if Matt Burke wants to go somewhere else to be a play caller, which is fair, I wouldn't hold that against Burke at all. And it would have to be Burke's choosing. I'm not running him off by any stretch of the imagination. If Burke wanted to stay here, then Burke's my DC. I'm not running Burke off for Robert Saleh. But I think Burke could leave this offseason so he can go somewhere to call plays, because that is that natural next progression, next step for a defensive coordinator. And plus, he would give you intel on the Jets who you play in a few weeks. So bring in Saleh.
That's a Belichick-type move, too, there. I'll throw one more in there as a sleeper, the Rams, because McVay, again, was with those guys all the way back to Washington, and McVay knows him, too. And the Rams' defense has been but I think that they might be someone that'd be interested as well.
2010, who would you rather have on your team, Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers?
In what year? This year?
Why would it be any other
right
year?
Now, yeah.
Right now? Right, I'd say Aaron Rodgers still because of he still has the ability to throw the football better than Deshaun Watson.
So is there any year where you would take Deshaun?
I've never been a massive
Deshaun
Watson.
Then why'd you ask the question?
When did I ask that question?
You said which year? There's never been a year where you would take Deshaun.
You're probably right.
So why did you ask which year?
Because because there was times when Deshaun could run the football and he was dynamic.
You just said you would never take Deshaun over Rodgers.
You're right. Then there you go. That I would never take Deshaun over Rodgers. Better now?
No, I don't know why you asked the question. It wasn't pertinent information.
Because right now, Rodgers isn't playing great. Is he slightly better than Deshaun? Sure.
Deshaun's the worst quarterback.
Yeah, Deshaun's the worst quarterback in the league.
Right, again. So if I told you a year, every year I would say you would have said Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
I would take Rodgers over Deshaun. And to me, I wouldn't even think twice. I still think Rodgers has way more in the tank than whatever Deshaun has left. Plus, Deshaun's on the worst contract maybe ever in NFL history. But Rodgers is a coach killer. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Busy show on a Tuesday. Cash him or trash him. We'll talk a little bit about the Texans. Do we have to give Laremy Tunsil some flowers? Film don't lie. And that Monday Night Football game, I think the Chiefs are beatable. I really do. All right, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitter at ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Coming up next, are you disappointed with what you've seen from Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter so far? Are they living up to expectations? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You found the killer bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Big news out of New England. The Texans play the Patriots coming up on Sunday. Drake May! It is Drake May time in New England.
So throwing him to the Wolves.
He's going to be the starting quarterback for the Patriots. I won't be the one that mentions that the Texans handed Bryce Young his first ever NFL win last year. I'm not going to bring that up. I'm not going to be that guy. I don't like this, per se. I think that I'd rather face Jacoby Brissett. I'll be completely honest with you. I'd rather face Brissett than Drake May.
Why is that?
The unknown of Drake May. Like, yeah, you can go back and you can watch college film, and yes, he's not experienced, but Jacoby Brissett's not good. Like, who's the more talented of the two quarterbacks? I think it's very clearly Drake May. So I'd rather play the less talented guy that I have way more information about than the talented guy that does not have the experience.
Yeah, I can see that. Not having tape on him is one thing, but I think that from a New England perspective, I think this is a complete mistake simply because of the fact that their offense hasn't looked great. Their line hasn't looked great. And the fact is that the last thing you want to do is this guy that you're banking on for the long run, throw him out there against a defense that we just saw shut down Josh Allen. And whether they're getting sacks or not, they're getting pressures. They're putting a lot of pressure on a quarterback. He's going to see a whole bunch of stuff, and he's probably going to take a whole bunch of hits. And I actually don't mind it because I don't think that he's going to be ready for a primetime defense like this, but I totally understand what you're saying simply from the fact that defenses like to have tape on a new quarterback or a quarterback they're facing. They're not going to have anything.
Don't get me wrong. I don't think that the Texans lose against Drake May. I just think that they would win by more if they were facing Jacoby versus Drake. We'll see. I guess we won't ever really have the answer to that. 713-780-ESPN. We'll get into Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter. Are you disappointed with the pass-rushing duo, dynamic duo that you thought you were going to see from them in just a moment? But first, let's go out to the HRMP listener line. A Coward B, who is a big inspiration in my life, he's caused me to reflect and change who I am as a person. Coward B, you're in the hive with the bees. What's up, Coward?
Oh, what's up, man? I was hearing you talk about Drake May being a better quarterback than Jacoby Brissett.
More talented.
There was a couple of weeks ago, the Jets played the Patriots, right? And at the end of that game, they threw in Drake May. And if you saw and seen how the O-line blocked for him and everything that factored in, rookie quarterback and everything, we're going to destroy him Sunday. I'm just saying.
Okay.
So I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate the call, Coward B. It was mop up duty late in the game. First ever experience in the regular season. 4 for 8. He was sacked 2 times. Let's not act like Jacoby Brissett has been good, though. Jacoby Brissett has not been good this year. I will concede that you're picking between two wrong answers. Like, neither one, I think, is a top 30 quarterback currently in the NFL. If I had to pick one that has the best chance to be top 30 from this point going forward, obviously it's Drake May. Jacoby Brissett hasn't been a top 30 quarterback in the last 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that I thought what New England was doing was just getting Jacoby Brissett as a play setter all along so that Drake May could kind of learn what he doesn't know and settle in, you know, kind of while Brissett takes some hits and they take their lumps, because I thought they were going to be the worst team in the NFL. They got a win early. They don't look like they're the worst team in the NFL, but they don't look great. And the fact is that I don't want a guy that I'm banking on to be my long-term starter at quarterback getting crushed. But I believe that if I'm D'Amico, I throw everything in and the kitchen sink at him, and I make this kid as uncomfortable as I can all game long, because I don't expect that he's going to make the reads and make the throws.
Yeah, I get the point of you don't want to get him hurt. I just, at what point do you do it? Like, you try to cherry-pick a matchup, cherry-pick an opponent that's a little bit lesser than the Texans' defense?
Yeah, I think that you look at, you know, a team where he has a chance to have some success. I think you look at it where maybe, you know, your team reestablishes the fact that you've had fumbling problems with running backs and stuff. But if you can reestablish some kind of a running game as well, so it takes some pressure off of him, then I'm all for at some point during the season starting to find out what you got.
Yeah.
But given enough time that he's not playing this defense and he can really understand kind of the speed of the game and what he hadn't experienced since he came out of college.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I just think that Drake May's better quarterback. Now, if you needed to protect your future, I totally understand that.
I'm not worried at all about it. We saw what the Texans did to Caleb Williams in week 2. Included in that was their highest or their second highest blitz percentage of the season. It was like 41% of their defensive plays they brought pressure on. I expect you see that from Drake May. And against Drake May this week, and sure, maybe Drake May has more upside, more overall talent, but it doesn't change that their offensive line is bottom, you know, 5 in the league. It doesn't change that they have virtually no talent at wide receiver, or at least the talent they do have is very young, like Jalen Polk. Running back is, you know, mid. I just don't see that there be anything around him that would make me think that this is that Drake May would be capable of breaking out with what's around him, especially against a defensive mind like D'Amico, who's willing to blitz as much as he did against Caleb Williams.
They play Jacksonville overseas next week. So that would be on paper.
Yeah.
But I wonder if they want to give him a game, and then it's like, okay, now let's – not that you're not trying to win the game against the Texans, but I wonder if they want to give him a game, have the week of, you know, this is where you made mistakes, let's correct this, and then position yourself better against Jacksonville. And look, I don't think that the Texans are in trouble. Like, I just think that Drake May will present a little bit more difficulty than a Jacoby Brissett would, because I think Jacoby Brissett's, you know, the 50th best quarterback in the world. Drake May might be worse than that right now, but he has top 30 potential. He has top 30 talent. I'm not worried that he's going to beat the Houston Texans.
And that's the biggest thing, too, is it's going to provide an extra challenge for the guys on the defensive side of the coaching staff and the players themselves, trying to dig up the tape, trying to figure out what you don't know about a kid, trying to really, you know, dig down into where his talents lie. what he's been used to seeing, and then how to defense him accordingly. But I think Brian's right. I think, you know, what they did to Kalen Williams, he's going to see, you know, a lot of packages very similar where they're just going to put a ton of pressure on him, make him make quick decisions, and see what a rookie quarterback can do against an above-average defense.
Yeah, I think you're sleeping on Stevenson a little bit too, by the way.
I don't know. I've got him in fantasy.
He's 10th in the NFL in rushing yards.
Yeah, his biggest problem has been the fumbles.
Yeah, and I think that's part of his benching,
his first four games.
It was more of a, like, the benching was, okay, you're not going to be on the field for the first play of the game, but you're still our go-to bell cow running back.
Right. It was a benching in name only.
Yeah,
he only missed the first series.
That was a technique for him to hopefully stop fumbling.
Pretty good in the first 2 weeks, not as great weeks 3 and 4. Then, like you said, he bounced back with a pretty good game last week. I just don't think he's a guy that, I mean, in fantasy, I'm not worried about playing him because he's going to get everything. But as far as a real life, what it would mean for the Texans, I view him as a top half starting running back, but not anyone I'm worried about.
Yeah, I think that's probably appropriate. Big Art, if May is starting, then D'Amico needs to give him the Kalen Williams treatment and create as much pressure as possible. Yeah, I think that's fine. 8807 says Brissett historically owns the Texans. I saw some people tweeting about this before the show.
27-0 2016.
Yeah, 27-0 in 2016 when he was 11-for-19 and threw for 103 yards. Congratulations, Jacoby Brissett stole your lunch. No, he didn't. You didn't score offensively. He threw the ball 19 times and converted 11 of them and threw for 103 yards. That's not owning you.
Those Patriots?
That was whenever he was the Patriots in 16.
Yeah, week 3 on Thursday night.
And then in 2017, he started at Houston with the Colts. That game he played well. 20-for-30, 308 yards, 2 touchdowns. Might be the best game he's ever had. A game in which the Colts won 20-14. Didn't play the Texans that year. 2019? Okay, yeah, maybe he does own them. He beat the Texans 30-23 with the Colts again. 26-for-39 with 4 touchdowns.
Set him down.
In 2019. Then he lost to the Texans later that year. 16-for-25, 129 yards. Didn't play against the Texans there. He had a start with Miami against the Texans, 26-for-43, 244 yards, a touchdown, 2 interceptions, and that is it. I don't think that's owning. I think he had one amazing game against you.
No, I think you're right, but just hearing some of those numbers, I'd rather take my chances with Drake May than a guy that has had some success against the Houston Texans franchise. He's an experienced NFL quarterback. He can read. He knows. I don't think there's anything he hasn't seen defensively. But he's also got to have weapons around him and guys that he can utilize. And I don't think New England's got a whole hell of a lot of talent, aside from maybe a running back.
I like their talent more than y'all do. I think Polk's got some. I think Polk's got a chance to be pretty dang good. And I don't dislike DeMario Douglas. I think he's got some juice.
Yeah, he's a nice slot receiver. I don't view him as a down the field threat.
Slot receivers are important in the NFL.
They are. They are, especially for a young rookie quarterback. I do think of these two guys, and probably why I'd rather face Drake May. If one of these guys is going to hang in, take the hit, and deliver the deep ball when he's facing pressure, it's Jacoby Brissett.
That is true.
Maybe Drake May proves to be that guy, but right now I'd have to say that guy is Brissett.
Eric, why do teams announce so early? Do they have to announce starters? I would give the defense as little as time as possible. I think they have a rat. Whoever broke the news said that one of the quarterbacks told him. So it sounds like Jacoby Brissett told him is what it sounds like to me. Because, yes, Jerod Mayo would have liked to not let anybody know.
Make the defense of the other team do even more work. Plan for both. Having to do a whole lot of extra tape work and a whole lot of prep on both guys. And now they don't have to do that. But, yeah, I mean, look, the same way that there's a rat in the Jets organization, evidently, for how quickly the news got out and what happened to Saleh and being escorted out of the building, yeah, there's rats all over the league. And you got to believe that if the quarterback didn't want to give up the job and wasn't the guy that felt like it was time for him to step down, he has ways of voicing that without necessarily saying it to anybody else.
All right, let's get to the Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter conversation. Are they living up to your expectations? 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
British Bulldog, poured out for the British Bulldog. He's been placed on the IR today. They brought back Kadar Holman. Remember whenever they traded a seventh-round draft pick for him and then cut him 8 days later? Well, he's back.
Don't remember, but I'll take your word.
He was the Packer corner they traded for.
Oh, that guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They traded with for Holman whenever he was a Packer, traded a seventh rounder. He lasted a week. He did start in that week, though, and then he was released. So they brought him back. They signed him from the Ravens practice squad. So I don't think this is great news for the return of Jeff Okuda. If you're bringing back a guy on somebody else's practice squad to be an outside corner for you, probably not great news for Jeff Okuda and his debut as a Houston Texan, at least my two cents.
Probably right, and also probably on the other side of the equation, probably means they're pretty happy with what Stover's been able to do as kind of a fullback slash tight
end. I mean, Bulldog's hurt, and then they actually re-signed the Quentin Tarantino guy. They signed him from the Bears. Well, it's not official yet, but the reports are, Aaron Wilson, that they're signing Quentin Tarantino back. So, okay. I don't know. And actually, Schultz has been playing more fullback than Stover.
He did. I noticed that. Yeah, he was being used a lot more in the backfield.
All right, Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, the dynamic pass-rushing duo. Now, people had big expectations for Will Anderson, big expectations for Danielle Hunter. Will Anderson, so far through five games, has five tackles for loss, five quarterback hits, 2.5 sacks. Danielle Hunter, through five games, has six quarterback hits, three tackles for loss, and 1.5 sack. The question we are posing to you, Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, are they living up to your expectations? 713-780-3776.
I think right now they're a disappointment. I think that no matter what you say about what this team's record is or what they did to Josh Allen a week ago, I think that a lot of people had high expectations, as we all did, but I think that the one thing that I didn't expect was is they were going to be this non-existent in terms of the sack game. You mentioned it a few weeks ago where, you know, we hear all about pressures, but at some point you got to start getting home, and they haven't been able to get home yet. And I think that, you know, that's the key here. Yeah, in moments, they have their moments, and there's been times that they've made their presence felt, but you would expect a lot more consistency, and the fact you can't double both of them, you would expect to have far greater contributions, even at this time in the season, from both guys, or even if they're really focusing on one guy, one of the two guys. But the fact that they both have the stats that they have sitting here going into the next week of the season, I'm disappointed with both of them.
To me, they have not lived up to my expectations. My expectations were super lofty. I'm not going to go as far to say that I'm disappointed in them. The Texans have had to play a lot of mobile quarterbacks, and whenever you're playing mobile quarterbacks, it kind of changes what you're doing defensively. You can use the Buffalo Bills as an example. DeMeco Ryans was on Coffee with the Coaches on the Texans YouTube, and he was talking about, look, those guys were setting the edge. They were trying to prevent Josh Allen from getting around the corner on them, keeping them in the pocket, and then hoping that Josh Allen or forcing Josh Allen to beat them from the pocket. And you look at the mobile quarterbacks that they play. I think Trevor Lawrence is not terrible mobility. I think it's okay. Sam Darnold's not the most mobile quarterback, but they torched you. Like, you couldn't touch him and he torched you. Caleb Williams, pretty mobile. And then, of course, Anthony Richardson's very mobile, too. So you have to be, you know, gap committed, gap oriented. You can't let them off the edge because that's when they're super dangerous. So I think that there's some other things in play as to why their numbers are down. But did I expect more? Absolutely. Absolutely, I expected more from Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. I expected them to have more than four sacks. And yes, I know sacks don't tell the whole story. It's about pressuring the quarterback and getting there and forcing, you know, the quarterback to make errant throws and all that stuff. I agree. But these guys get paid because of sacking the quarterback. I expected more.
Yeah, I think as well as everybody did.
I'm disappointed the sack total isn't higher. How can you not be, especially with the money and the draft assets spent on these two guys? But, I mean, they're 10th and 13th in pass rush win rate, and to me, they've completely, and specifically with the Bills game and the Bears game, been the guys, or at least been a part of the side of the team that won that game. The defensive side with the consistent just play after play pressure and the game-wrecking nature at which they got after Caleb Williams and Josh Allen won those games. I mean, they made Caleb Williams completely ineffective. We saw how great he looked last week, and then Josh Allen had one of the worst passing days a quarterback's ever had in the last 20 years. So I think those are directly from the type of pressure that DeMeco Ryans and that defense is pressuring. Now, maybe you don't want to say that's because of Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. Maybe it's a group effort, but some of the analytics like pass rush win rate show us that, you know, Anderson's or Danielle Hunter's 10th, Will Anderson's 13th. They're getting the job done to me. So I'm not that disappointed, but I do think the sack higher. I do wish the sack total was a little higher.
The 10th and 13 to me is low. Like, my expectations for them were to be higher in that regard. Was that pass rush win rate?
Yeah.
Yeah, I expected them to be higher than 10 and 13.
How high do you want them?
At least one of them in the top five. Okay. I mean, you made an historic trade for Will Anderson. Historic trade for Will Anderson for a defensive player. Yeah, I have high expectations for that guy.
I mean,
now.
Nick Bosa's eighth. If Danielle Hunter was eighth instead of 10th, would that – I mean, that's
– I would. I feel much better about 8th and 13th.
Oh, no, I'm talking about specifically 8th versus 10th for Danielle Hunter to Nick Bosa.
Yeah, I like 8 better than 10.
Yeah, I know, but it's just not – to me, it's not that big of a difference that if Danielle Hunter was suddenly 8th, instead of 10th, I don't know if we would barely even notice.
Oh, come on. Win rate percentage, we all notice that. We all know win rate, win percentage.
Sarcasm fully in effect.
Yeah, yes. Exit hits, give me those. I want exit sacks is what I want. 713-780-ESPN. Ownage on Twitch. Them two in the Texans second half offense have been the biggest disappointments to me. 6087, I think they're doing more than the numbers are saying. I would agree with that, but I do think they should be utilized differently. More pressures than containment. I do think that's specific on the opponent so far. Like, let's see a couple of these statues. Now, Drake May's got some underrated athleticism, by the way.
Yeah, he can run a little bit. He's more athletic
than Jacoby Brissett, which maybe that's part of the reason that New England wants to play him. Let's see a couple of the statues. Let's see a couple of the pocket passers on the schedule and then what it looks like after that.
I think that's fair because I think it's absolutely accurate to say, hey, without registering sacks, these guys have been able to wreak some havoc and you have to pay attention to them regardless of what they're able to do. But late in games and in certain games, you know, kind of more intense game situations, they've stepped up. Last game, you did find Will Anderson in the fourth quarter when you really needed him to be around. Hunter has had some plays where he has been in the backfield. But overall, I've expected way more than this. And it's, I mean, we're just getting the season started. It's a long season. But to have the lofty expectations of having at least one double-digit sack guy and two guys hovering around double-digit sacks, they got a long way to go and a short time to get there.
The texter 713-780-ESPN, quote unquote, your expectations. You're too funny, laughing face emoji. We asked what your expectations were. John Gernard, by the way, in Minnesota, 4 sacks, 9 quarterback hits. John Gernard has 4 sacks. Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson have combined 4 sacks. 4 sacks. 713-780-3776. 5623, Will Anderson is overrated.
I'm not going to say that.
Would you rather have Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam Laporta or Will Anderson?
Oh, boy.
Will Anderson.
Yeah, Will Anderson.
Really?
I'm going to take out
100%.
You rather have Will Anderson over Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam Laporta?
I would, yeah.
Wow. Right now, I would.
If nothing else, for the value of the position. I mean, give me – if obviously, Jahmyr Gibbs probably is having the best start to their career of all three of them. But we're talking about running back, tight end versus edge rusher.
What's the Texans' weakness on offense?
I mean, once right Joe Mixon gets back, yeah, I don't
I'm saying
it'll be
if
that
you have
back.
Mixon, then yeah,
yeah. But I mean, you spent some money on Mixon, right? So you talk about like allocation of finances. If you had Gibbs, you wouldn't be spending that money on Mixon, which opens up money
15.
Somewhere else.
I'm not spending the top 15 pick on running back. I mean, congrats to the Lions on hitting Jahmyr Gibbs, but I'm not spending the 12th overall pick to get a running back. And Sam Laporta's been great, but I'm not really worried about tight end. I don't think Dalton Schultz, not that he's ever been as good as Sam Laporta was last year, but Dalton Schultz to me didn't fall off a hill. He's just not needed because he's like the fifth target in the offense.
But 2 first-rounders and an early second for a guy who has 2.5 sacks. Just
in
saying.
In week 5 of the season, yes.
Just saying.
Let's see where we are after week 17.
Nick on Twitter, sack numbers aren't there, but that entire defensive line is the best in the league in pressures. I think the numbers will get better for both of them as the season goes on. Texans are also third in defense in the NFL. They're third in defensive DVOA, so it's tough to be like, okay, well, these guys aren't getting sacks. Let's blame them when their defense has been pretty stinking good. So I would say that to counter my point. The Tesla bus driver, those that know ball, yes. T-shirt fans who admire stats, no. Jay Dizzle, not yet. Hunter's been close several times to getting a sack. Chris, Will is. Danil isn't. Grenard was better, is better. KC, honestly, no. Shoulda muted Bob Costas, says yes and no. Oof. And then CD says not yet.
Yeah, as a team, I looked it up after you mentioned their success as a team. They're fourth as a team in pass rush win rate. 50% of the time they're winning.
Let me ask this, though. Is that personnel or is that tactics?
I mean...
Because if it's tactics, and I'm not saying that it is.
It's hard to separate
the two. But if it is tactics...
Because we have what we would consider elite talent. Danielle Hunter proved it in pass stops. Will Anderson obviously won Defensive Rookie of the Year. Mm-hmm. I don't think you could separate the two.
Well, I think
because the tactic wouldn't work as well with lesser talent.
Sure, but
they don't have
lesser
talent.
You can scheme up lesser players to have maybe not equal production, but good production.
What would be the proof, though? Because what we've seen with D'Amico Ryan's defenses, both in San Francisco and here, is not winning with lesser
evidence.
Talent.
We don't have evidence of that.
Right.
Yeah. So it's more eye test, what do you think, by watching it. I think D'Amico schemes up good stuff.
I do, too, but I don't think this stuff works nearly as well. I mean, they're winning 50% of their pass rushes. They don't
There's no argument about that. I'm not arguing that. I'm not arguing that the scheme is the reason that they're winning their pass rush win rate. I'm saying if you can get close to that, perhaps it's not worth investing what they've invested in that defensive line, and you can use those resources elsewhere. Because if you can scheme up really good defensive line play without, you know, a historic trade for defensive end, without big money for another defensive end, let's say you can get by with like average defensive end play because you're scheming up really good stuff, then that lifts up the rest of the team.
It's not unfair. It still wouldn't be. I still wouldn't put me in a place where I'd want to spend that money that you didn't spend on defensive end on running back and tight end, though.
No. I didn't say running back and tight end. That would have been through the draft.
Earlier we were talking about.
That was
about,
through the draft. Okay. That was not finances. That wasn't through free agency.
Yeah, no, I would just say to that I would be concerned about the fact that even if you're not, because I agree that you could actually, you know, if you believe in D'Amico and his schemes, you could save money and save the assets you gave up and find defensive ends. But will those defensive ends have the ability to at least create the kind of pressure and do the kind of things that D'Amico would do as he schemes them up? And I don't think that, you know, Derek Barnett and some of the guys that they've brought in are any, and Jerry Hughes and guys like that, you'd have to find another level above that. And that challenge alone is going to take some of the money or some of the assets away.
Barnett's been pretty good. Unfortunately, he's got hurt, so who knows how long he's going to be gone. And then you also signed D'Amico Autry. So it's like you spent the resources on Anderson, you spent a resource on Danielle Hunter, and then you also spent the resource on D'Amico. 713-780-ESPN. 9506 also mentions the first rounder this year in the Will Anderson trade. That is true. 713-780-3776. People thinking that people were too kind with C.J. Stroud. Is that true? What is the objection that one of us is taking? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Week 6 of the football season is here. At least it's going to be here in a couple of days. But you need to start looking at the slate. You need to start looking at the schedule. You need to start looking at what you want to bet. And I'm here to tell you about my favorite sportsbook and casino, and that's BetUS.com. Football is back, so it's time to get in on the action. I endorse one sportsbook and casino, and that's BetUS. If you want a game plan to win this season, then check out BetUS. BetUS went large for you this season with a huge offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. That's right, a 125% bonus on your first three deposits. BetUS offers value other sportsbooks simply do not. Gambler's insurance, crypto bonuses, casino bonuses, plus they have all the products you need. Competitive odds, parlays, live betting, odds boost, and prop betting. When you are ready to lay down your bet, give your bet an edge. Why not combine your sign-up bonus with knowledge? Get that knowledge with expert analysis, picks, and predictions on all major sports on their very own BetUS TV. Get started today at BetUS.com or give them a call at 1-800-MY-BETUS. BetUS, where the game begins.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I think I'm about to make people mad on Twitter. Would you rather have Will
Just
Anderson?
Just throw this crap out there to get clicks.
More engagement than clicks, but it's kind of in the same medium. Would you rather have Will Anderson or Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, and Xavier Worthy? Gibbs, Laporta, Xavier Worthy, or Will Anderson?
Take the Detroit package.
Brian? No, not budging, are you?
Will Anderson.
I knew he wasn't going to budge. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. A good player is more important than good scheme. Yes, I agree with that, but it's not like you're going to bring in chopped liver. Like, you're still going to bring in good players. There's not going to be that level of talent. 8807, I don't want to see this back-end cover receivers without this defensive line. Now, I thought that the secondary covered really well against Buffalo. D'Amico was talking about how they played more man than they played all year. They were bringing 6-7 guys at times to Josh Allen. I thought they covered really well. The one exception is obviously the touchdown, but just make a tackle. Like, just make a tackle and then make them march down the field further. So I kind of like the covered guys in the secondary. Stingley's really, really good. Lassiter, I think, is fine, especially for a rookie. I like Bullock. I like Bullock a lot. And Murray's a way better cover guy than Ward.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I'm not going to nitpick the corners because I think Lassiter's getting better each and every week. And I think that you hear that from opponents, but you hear that, you know, at practice. And you can see that on the field. And I think Bullock's got a lot of talent. I think the safeties have a little to be desired, or even more than a little to be desired, in terms of, like, overall their ability to cover and kind of, you know, guard the back end and some of the things we've seen. And, of course, Jimmy Ward is, again, hurt. Which was a concern of mine at the start of the season. But I think that the safeties, yeah, you can depict them more. I'm fine with the corners that we've seen and the way they played. And I think Bullock's going to get better as well.
I think Bullock's your best cover corner. And I think Murray's pretty head and shoulders above Ward in coverage. In coverage. Ward's a better tackler, more physical presence, but talking specifically the coverage element of it. All right. Blankers, you have a perception based on what people are saying about C.J. Stroud? I mean,
we've heard it from all of our social media channels. We're too much homers for C.J. Stroud. We need to be more, you know, fair and recognize the fact that C.J. Stroud isn't quite there yet. And you know, that's why at the start of the year I started going and looking around the league and going from week to week, who would you say is better? And who would you take instead of C.J. Stroud? I watched the game last night. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes is the best in the business. Patrick Mahomes has a ton of talent. He made chicken salad out of chicken bleep last night, utilizing the tight ends, moving the ball around, and with Andy Reid, they're great. Aside from Patrick Mahomes, I look at this and I challenge everyone to tell me if you want to criticize how positive I've been or how much what I see in C.J. Stroud. Go ahead and tell me who you would take in front of him. Who's playing better than him right now? I mean, Joe Burrow had a monster game. They lost again. And he's got a ton of talent there, too. And he was one of the guys we had high on our list. We saw what happened to Josh Allen going from an MVP, the leading candidate for MVP early in the season, to what the Texans did, to what the Ravens did. And then you start, you know, looking at his inability to be accurate with the football. And week in, week out, when you look at and watch the games and watch the games as thoroughly as we do, I just see a guy that has a level of talent that I don't see on any other roster aside from Patrick Mahomes. We heard Herbert at the start of the year. I wouldn't take Justin Herbert over C.J. Stroud. When I look at their level of play from last week, just last week alone, I still wouldn't take anybody over C.J. Stroud except for Patrick Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes is more on resume, though he played well last night. But I look at it and I say, overall, from where we had our rankings at the start of the year, C.J. Stroud has actually climbed the rankings for me. Other guys have fallen down. And I can't believe that people, you know, would question giving C.J. the flowers that he rightfully deserves.
6444 says that Sam Darnold's playing better. 6269 says that Jaden Daniels is playing better. I would take Stroud ahead of both of those guys, obviously. Now, is Darnold's stats better? Sure. Is Daniel's stats better? Sure. Although Stroud's top three in the NFL in passing. Probably when you combine touchdowns, yeah.
Because Sam Darnold, they won, but I think he threw like for 174 or 175.
Yeah, but he was going off prior to that.
Darnold definitely has more touchdowns.
Yeah, Darnold was going off prior to this last week.
That's fine, but overall, because I agree with you, Daniel's more power to him. He's looked really impressive to start his career. But I'm not taking Jaden Daniels over C.J. Stroud. And I see the kind of throws that we're still, you know, looking for all the different levels, though I don't doubt that he's going to be able to make them. He seems like he's got more talent than anybody in that draft class. But I look at C.J. Stroud and the ability to take all the different things he could do, the arm strength, the ability to make the throws, accuracy, touch. And I'm not taking anybody over C.J. Stroud, and I'm probably not taking Patrick Mahomes simply because of the fact that there's a longer career ahead for C.J. Stroud.
I would have Stroud in my top three. I would challenge you with Mahomes. You wouldn't take Mahomes over Stroud?
Look, I said Mahomes is the cream of the crop, but the biggest thing with me is because C.J.'s younger and he hasn't hit the contract yet, that I would think that opens up a little bit of a possibility. But, yeah, it's Mahomes, and then with everybody else, I'm not taking anybody over C.J. Stroud.
For me, the conversation is between two and four. And I don't really care about the numbers a whole lot. This is more who do I want leading my franchise and gives me the best chance to win a Super Bowl. Mahomes is my clear-cut number one. The conversation starts at two, and I wouldn't go as low as four with Stroud. I think it's somewhere in that range. And then the other three guys that I'm putting in that list, obviously not Josh Allen. How could you watch Josh Allen this past week compared to C.J. Stroud? And, yes, it was one bad game, but how could you possibly pick Josh Allen ahead of C.J. Stroud? The other three that I would throw in the mix from two to four is Lamar, Joe Burrow, and then Stroud. Like, not in any order, but those are the three that are in conversation between two to four. I would go Mahomes, I would probably go Lamar, too. I give Stroud the advantage over Burrow because he beat Burrow in Cincinnati last year when Burrow was fully healthy. So I would go Mahomes, Lamar, knowing that he hasn't done anything in the playoffs. Stroud and then Burrow now.
And to me, Lamar's a better runner than CJ, obviously.
No doubt.
But I think that CJ's a better passer of the football in all aspects of the passing game.
No doubt.
And so, for me, that's where the conversation starts. And then when you look at what you mentioned and the fact that, look, from a regular season perspective, you can't go against a guy that's won multiple MVPs, done what he's been able to do. From a playoff perspective, I'll take CJ Stroud over Lamar Jackson because with probably less talent, he's done, you know, he's been able to do what I think is more in the way that he's played. So, yeah, Lamar has more skins on the wall because of the regular season. I'm still taking C.J. Stroud over Lamar Jackson because I need a quarterback that can throw accurately and play big in the biggest moments where sometimes Lamar Jackson doesn't do that.
I want to hear more of who these people are, though, that think you're too kind, because I think that if you ask any, like, knower of ball, they would all have Stroud top five.
Top five is even still.
Okay, top four. But, like, who's saying that you're too kind?
I've gotten friends that have listened to the show that have said,
your friends are casuals.
Okay, you can criticize my friends all you want.
You're criticizing them.
But you don't know who they are.
But so what?
You don't know which friends they are.
I'm criticizing their take, which you also are criticizing their take. You say that they don't know what they're talking about. I'm also saying I don't know what they're talking about.
They believe that, like, they're still anointing Joe Burrow. They're still saying that Joe Burrow has beaten Mahomes and that CJ hasn't beaten Mahomes and that Burrow has done enough and gotten to a Super Bowl to where he has a half a step or more above CJ. And Josh Allen, because of the fact that, you know, he still runs the football and he makes plays, you know, for when his team needs him most, he can put the team on his shoulders. But then he hasn't beaten Mahomes and he can't throw accurately. But, you know, there's a lot of people that I've had interactions with that seem to believe, yeah, don't give CJ too much too soon. Like, he can be top 10. He can be top 5.
10.
Yeah, and he can.
And
be,
why are you upset that I'm criticizing these bad takes?
Top 10 is a bad take.
Why, yeah? Why can I criticize
those
bad takes?
Let's say our top 10s and had them in there. That you can say you can have them in the top 10, you can have them in the top 5. You can't have them, like, in the top 3. Why not? And from week to week, it still sticks with me to look at it and go, who played better? Who would you take? It's a double barrel question. Who played better from that week? And who would you take instead of him? Aside from Patrick Mahomes, I'm not even gonna take Lamar Jackson over CJ Stroud.
Yeah, I would question who you're listening to. No offense to your friends. And I certainly wouldn't take any advice from the Twitchers. The Twitchers, no way I'm listening to those casuals, those non-knowers of ball. I think anywhere less than top five is too low for Stroud. That's what I would say. Anybody who has Stroud below the top five, they're a slow-moving ship and they don't want to change their opinion quickly, which I would say is flawed logic. Like, okay, well, you're missing out. Anywhere lower than top five, I think, is too low for Stroud.
Yeah, and there's absolutely no doubt about it. I think all three of us had him in the top five to start the year. In my opinion, he's moved up. There are people that like to get, you know, hypercritical of Slowick or the offense or, you know, his turnovers. Everybody has turnovers. The fact is when you watch all the different ways that he controls a football game and his ability to be clutch in big time moments and lead them on game winning drives, I'm putting him above everybody but Patrick Mahomes.
Shred him, okay. Stroud.
What was that one?
Shred him, Stroud.
Shred him, Stroud.
That's my favorite thing. 0979, Joe, not now. He isn't winning 1-4 trash. That defense, though, is the reason why. Burrow's playing at a pretty high level, IMO. Film don't lie. Film do not lie. Let's see what we're talking about next. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.